This is for the players.
I'm Ryan Betton.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And this is For The Players, the Pop Culture's PlayStation Podcast 1 year anniversary! Ooh. My ear is ringing.
Well, they didn't go in the food, so that's a good start.
That's handy. And this is For The Players, the Pop Culture's PlayStation Podcast. Over 40 years of playing PlayStation 6, plus years in that games media combined, we thought we'd throw our hats into the ring and join that PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of that conversation, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below, and if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
Before we dive into the show,
wait, you gotta do the merch plug.
Speaking of Patreon, I want to mention something quickly. Okay. So we've been doing this for a year now, and a lot of these people have been supporters of the show since pretty much day one. So with the Patreon, I want to give out that list of names who lovely support us each and every month on Patreon. We've got Jacob Garner, Jesse Stevenson, the Hooded Dude, who's a newie. Frequent on our videos. He's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Damien Holdies, Paul James, Pure Mongrel, Sean Levitt, Dave Chataway, Craig O'Flaherty, Lee Winter Chauvin, and Dylan Blight. Thank you very much, guys, for your ongoing support. We do truly, truly appreciate it.
We do.
And if you want to support us more, you can head to thepopculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts like these new designs we've got. Major League Betson and Angry Old Man.
I feel more and more like that every day. I was whinging yesterday to you and Joel. I'm like, because like the whole May the 4th thing, I'm like, this just pisses me off. I just don't want to hear about it. It's lame. And I think it's because of how grey I'm going. Not just in the beard, but like in the chest as well. The grey is fucking everywhere. So I am turning into that angry old man.
Another thing, yes, we are on Twitch at twitch.tv/popculturist. We are Twitch affiliated as well. So if you want to come over there and donate, sponsor, give us them bits, it's all much appreciated. However, one thing that I feel that we should do more often.
Oh, shit.
That we don't never do. Is we never recommend people to go to your podcast service of choice, give us some of them reviews, give us them 5-star reviewsies, even a 2-star reviewsies. Because look, what I'm thinking, and to add to the end of the show when we do our little community recommendation, what if we could chuck in there a community review as well? We jump on the iTunes, we jump on the things, we see what people have to say, and we read them, and they get a little shout out at the end of the show.
That's cool, but then it's also like no one said anything about us.
That's also possible. That's incredibly possible.
It's just all negative.
Yeah, it's
like that one dude that commented once, like, that dude on the left is, like, really fucking annoying. Like, yeah. Hey, what up? Hi. If you want to drop that in a review, that'd be great.
Thank you for your constructive criticism, but put it in a review. Or maybe you can read out some lovely comments and stuff that come through. Sort of like that review like style of thing. So, you know, hey, get more voices in here.
So this is our birthday, as we've already said, hence the snackies and the hats and the.
So that's let's crack that quality champagne.
From Le Chateau Pasito.
Yeah, Chateau
de Pasito. Yeah. Of course, we have our badges: birthday boy, birthday girl. Safeway only had one of each left.
Yeah, like you're walking up to like, hi, do you have a badge for the 1 year anniversary of a podcast? Like, what?
No. To another year.
To another year, my friend.
Many more to come. Oh, I'm going to get like wasted on this Pasito. So,
but yeah, 12 months for the players.
It's funny, like, going back to, because this was spurred on because our favourite PlayStation podcast came to an end early last year. I'm like, and everyone and their mums was making their own. Like, we're going to do a podcast now. You know, we'll fill the gap. And, you know, we were pretty critical of a lot of them. And we're like, well, why don't we fucking do it? Wait.
The first conversation, it was like, Josh, you're like, yes. What if we just fucking did it? Let's do it. And we'll somewhat follow the formula, but we'll also make it our own. And then, yeah, we did, as I've told before, we did about four pilots before we even released the first one.
Yeah. Do we still have those?
Yeah, I still have them. I'm banked.
That'd be garbage.
Yeah,
they'd be utter rubbish.
I'd like to say we were lucky though. You guys didn't see the garbage. Mm. You guys only but maybe saw they the slightly less garbage.
Would like to.
Maybe they would. Let us know if you want to see those original pilots.
Because, you know, I think, you know, we've got our groove on. You know, we sit down, we know what we're doing. When's the last time we had to do, because, you know, previously, you know, it'd take 5 takes just to get the show started. You know, we haven't had to do that for a good long while now.
Yeah, just sort of getting the run of it.
Yeah, the format's there, you know, we're just cruising.
We're growing and changing. Mm. But Jess Stevenson, as one of our lovely patrons, did ask the question. She says, congratulations on the 1 year. What's next?
Pasito and coffee just don't go.
So, yeah, before we jump into the big hunk of the show, what do you see for the players going in the next 12 months? What do you want to see us do?
FTP worldwide. I don't know. I mean, I like what we do. I like the formula. I just keep growing. I don't know. What the fuck do I say?
Like, just keep doing what we're doing.
I want to see us get half the listens we normally get.
Yeah, get more out to more people. Get to more places. Get in those lists on the iTunes, which you guys can do with those reviews, might I add.
So could we, technically.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I reviewed it. It's pretty obvious. Like, this guy's really cool. Like,
hey. Who's that handsome guy on the right? Oh, that's me.
Oh. But anyway, what have you been playing this week?
Gwent. Because
you fell down that rabbit hole again.
No, well, you know, I platinumed God of War too quickly, I think. Because I still don't feel done with it. So I am planning on starting another playthrough at some point on a higher difficulty. I was just going through my catalog of stuff and I thought, oh, let's chuck on some Gwent, see what's changed. Everything has changed.
Yeah, you did say that, like it's kind of like refreshed.
No, well, what CDPR are doing, they found it very hard. Well, in their words, they've said it's very hard to make all the changes they want to while it's out in an open beta. Mm. So essentially, they've said you're getting one more update in May. You're getting nothing new until October because behind the scenes, we're rebuilding it pretty much from scratch. And then in October, it's going to come out alongside the Thronebreaker single player, out of beta, like it's proper released, and then we're going to work on it from there. Which I think shows their dedication to kind of making it everything it can be, because while you can still play it for these 6 months, you know, people are going to get bored, they're going to disappear, and a lot of them aren't going to come back.
Yeah.
And they surely know that as well. It's a pretty big risk, actually, but I think it's for the best. I think it shows, you know, their dedication to, you know, making it go on and on and on. But yeah, I'm digging it. I'm really, yeah.
So considering the last time you played it was like 6 months ago, has it changed in that time?
More cards have been added and more mechanics have been added. Mm-hmm. They've also added the arena mode, similar to Hearthstone, where you buy into the arena, you build a deck then and there. It'll show you like 4 cards. You go, I want that one, and then it'll show you another 4. You go, I want that one, until you kind of build a deck, and then you try to see how many wins out of 9 you can get before you get to 3 losses, and then you get rewards accordingly. So it kind of helps you learn how to deck build. You know, I've got this and this, so out of these 4 cards, this card's going to work the best with these 4 cards in the deck, and then I'm going to kind of start building around that. Mm-hmm. I suck at it. I think my best is 3 wins, and then
you're not very good at the deck building part.
Yeah, I like deck building, but when it's just a bunch of random cards that you're picking from, because a lot of them are new and I haven't seen them before, I don't quite understand the synergies and all that they have with everything else. But I've been playing in ranked, gone from rank 3 up to rank 12. The highest rank is 21. That's where all the big boys play. I like to see how far I can get. I think if I can get to like 18 or 19, I'll be pretty happy.
Now you are looking at possibly streaming some Gwent.
When it comes back, like out of this hiatus they're taking, I think I might. But that could change everything and fuck it all up, and then no one wants to play it at all. So, but there's also like a drought now because all the big streamers of it are like, well, I can't stream this anymore because the viewership's not there. As much as I love the game, I can't stream it. So there's also, you know, kind of a drought in that.
See, that's why I kind of think you should jump in and do it now. But everyone's like, well, we can't make money out of it. Like, well, we don't make money, so I'm going to play it because I want to.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm having fun with it. I think I'm 39-7 at the moment. This is good. But, you know, of course, as you climb up the ranks, the losses will come a lot more frequently.
Yes.
But as long as you win one more than you lose, you're going
to
get up.
Well, I would like to. I would watch that stream because I tried to play Gwent. I had no idea what was going on.
That's the whole idea.
It's yeah. New, you know. So, I'd like to watch you and then explain what you're doing and why you're doing it. That's yeah. That'd be really cool.
I think now's a good time to probably jump into it mm-hmm. because it's good, but like nothing's going to change for 6 months. So you can jump in and get a handle on it and start up your collection for when it's re-released. Mm. And the thing with when you get your duplicate cards, you can mill them for resources to craft other cards, much like all the other CCGs out there. But it normally takes milling four cards of a rarity to make one. Mm. You know, that's the ratio. A gold card is worth 800 scraps. If you destroy a gold card, you get 200 scraps. Yeah. But when Thronebreaker, they're calling it Homecoming, when that comes out, pretty much they've said every card will be worth its full mill value. So if you keep all your duplicates until then, you can go one for one and really expand your collection.
I like that.
So I can mill, I think I've got about 150 duplicates at the moment, but I've already got a couple of decks that I like to play, so I don't need to craft anything. So I'm hanging on to them, and then when Homecoming hits, I can pretty much complete the collection because every card is one for one for a little bit. So yeah, I think it's a good time to kind of jump in now, get some cards, get some duplicates, and then when Homecoming comes out, you can pretty much make whatever deck you want because everything is one for one.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, thinking ahead, yeah.
Yeah, some good pre-thought.
Build a couple of decks that you're happy with that perform well, which I've got probably three that are quite different from each other, so I can always like mix it up. But I've got no reason to build anything now. I've got about 65% of the collection. So yeah, when Homecoming comes out, I'm pretty much guaranteed to have the whole collection, and then I can just build anything I want whenever I want.
Very cool.
What about you?
My week's been a little bit different. I'll kick things off with non-PlayStation things. So last night...
What?
I don't know. So last night I spent some time with Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
I hear it's hard.
It is hard because I'm shit at platforming. Like, it's one of those things. As I'm getting older, I just don't have it anymore.
Donkey Kong's always been pretty difficult, though.
Yeah, like what I found was like, hey, yeah, this is fun. The boss, easy as. Mm. But then this random level, it just spiked for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you son of a fucking bitch. And like, I wasted like 30 lives on it. And then as I was on my zero balloon, I'm like, boom, cleared the level. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Isn't there, there's an easy mode though. You can play Chunky Kong, I think?
Funky Kong. Yeah. So the big difference is, yeah, so you've got there's Donkey Kong, and you can be Dixie Kong, Diddy Kong, and Cranky Kong. They're sort of your three main little helpers.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you've got Funky Kong now in the new mode. You don't dive too much into it because, you know, being a Nintendo game. But thank you, Nintendo Australia, anyway, for providing the code for us.
You said it was a successful stream for it, anyway.
Oh, it was just having a successful stream. I had a lot of fun with it. Mm. yeah, so I really enjoyed it. It was because having not really played a Donkey Kong since the SNES. So it was kind of like, oh, cool, it's the same, but better, prettier, a bit tighter, mm-hmm. and because the minecarts are still there, the music is very similar, I'm like, and then, you know, and then it changes, I'm like, oh.
The minecart levels were the worst.
They sucked.
Absolute worst.
And, like, the music is just as hot as I know, you know, when you die, it's like...
No, I always just get the image of jazz hands on that final.
Suck it, you're dead. And then I also for May the 4th, as you said, I streamed Star Wars Episode 1 Racer on the PC using the service that Gwent uses. What's it called?
GOG Galaxy.
Yeah. I downloaded it in a lovely, crisp 1080p, 60 frames per second, Episode 1.
Get the pinky out.
A 19-year-old game. Internet. It looks like rat shit, but clean rat shit.
It's like the fresh one that's still shiny a little bit.
Instead but what of the old I love one. Though, what I truly love is because they have little cutscenes, but those cutscenes are like 480p. Mm. So it's like, and then when the cutscene happens, like this big in the middle of the screen,
yeah,
it's like, what? And then it goes back to the game, and yeah, that was fun. Yeah, and then I finished the stream off with some Doom. Because I was going through I had my PlayStation open. I'm like, all right, chat, pick what you want me to play. And Dave's like, oh, Doom. I'm like, all right, yeah, I'll get the disc. I'll be right back.
Jungle.
Like, we're rocking out, having a good time. You know, Doom, like that game is still so solid.
Yeah.
Game is really, really good.
Did it run at 60 yet? Was that a thing they were doing at some point?
Yeah,
it's
run at 60 the whole time. But what it now has, if you have a Pro, it's got the 4K update, which is the checkerboarded 4K.
Yeah.
Still running at 60, super crisp, because, you know, when we stream at 1080, so it was super sampled down. It looked tight. And especially coming from playing Garbage Racer to then going to this, it was like, oh my God, this looks fantastic. The game could look like ass, but... comparatively, it was amazing.
You also streamed the Detroit demo too, didn't you?
Oh, we did. Yes, I totally forgot about that. Yeah, and on Wednesday we did Destroy. We streamed the Detroit Become Human demo with the Connor demo, which is the same one that we played at EB Expo and at PAX.
Mm-hmm.
Except this time because you can now see the flow chart of all the different possible outcomes. So in the hour and a half, we went through all six options.
Cool.
There was new ones that we didn't see.
Ooh.
But because of the demo, the ones that we saw, like there was the one where the snipers take him out.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one where you fall over the edge with him, but the girl's saved.
Yep, that's the one I got.
But there's also you find the gun under the table and you shoot him directly in the face. You pull the gun out that you found under the table and the Daniel shoots you in the face.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep.
Is that a fail?
Yep.
Yep.
Then there's also everyone falls off the edge.
That's a fail.
And then there is you sacrifice yourself. You jump in. You essentially like hide. You know, what's what I'm looking for?
Cradle her.
Yeah. Essentially, cradle Emma, and you sort of get around her, and then he shoots you in the back. But as you do that, you punch him back, and he falls off. And then you're just like fucking rock solid there because you're a robot and you've just gone all hard.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was fun because there was like a couple that I hadn't seen. I was like, oh wow, because I thought from the discussion that we had at PAX, at EB Expo with Buddy, I thought we may have hit all the options, but no. And it was really cool to see the flowchart and see how all these different outcomes are possible. How like one slight change of conversation leads you down a different path. I do truly think that Detroit will have the closest to when everyone says like it's a game that has true. What's I'm looking for. Like, true choice. As in, you can actually tailor the story. Like, your choices do matter. I feel that this may not be perfect, because it will be pushing you down a linear path, but I do still think this may be one of the closest to exactly that.
I think it'll be whether the outcome you get affects that one scenario or has repercussions through everything else.
Now, potential spoilers if you don't want to hear this. I know with Connor, whenever you do a detective mission with Connor, if you die, your body gets rebuilt back into a new body and you forget the previous events. But if it's successful, it actually affects you. And so you slowly become more of one of the deviants, the broken robots.
Oh, okay.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So by the end, you could not be...
Connor.
Like you'll be Connor, but you'd have died however many times and you won't get that ending of him switching on, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Or you get him somewhere in the middle, or he's just as like disenfranchised as like Marcus and Kara.
Cool.
Very cool. And of course, I've dived back into God of War, doing a lot of the end game stuff, which is great for me because like I barely finish games, let alone go back and do end game stuff. So I think that's 100% of praise to the God of War games.
You did rage quit the other night.
I did rage quit really hard.
I really enjoyed that message. Yep. You're like, fuck the Valkyries. I fucking hate them. I don't want them.
But I did also make it a conscious decision. This may be cheating. Because I was playing like mid-difficulty, right? I'm like, wait, who the fuck do I have to... Who do I have to impress?
Mm-hmm.
There's no trophy tied to difficulty. If I'm going to do a platinum run, I just want to get the platinum. Drop it down to easy. Still tough.
That's what I did it on.
Still tough, but still fun.
Yeah, that's what I did it on.
Yeah. And that's probably why he had an easier time with the Valkyries. I'm like, I was looking at him, he's like, plonk! I'm like, son of a bitch.
Still hard. One of them still took me about 2 hours to get down even on easy. But I think I was pretty undergeared at that point. I found it randomly. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do this. I'm about an hour in, I'm like, I don't think I should be doing this right now. But I kept at it and got it eventually.
But yeah, no, what I'm doing right now at this press moment, I'm just doing I'm doing a big lap around the Lake of the Nine, just clearing out everything that I see and every possible path.
Because
now that I've finished the story, I have all the skill set that I need. So everything should be obtainable.
Yeah.
And then once I've done that, what I did do is when I went back home and saw that little teaser, I literally just followed the path that I would have taken in the game. So I started from the start, went my way through, cleared out everything that I didn't do at the time, and then sort of fast traveled to a different area, did the same thing.
I like that there isn't a trophy for every single one of the collectibles. There's only three for the collectibles.
Oh, really?
The artifacts, Odin's Ravens, and the Jotnar Shrines. Everything else is not tied to it, like all your legendary chests and all that, they're not tied to trophies.
Oh,
so
what?
That's good too.
Oh, dang.
I still went.
Well, there are, because you need to have, like, upgrade your health completely, upgrade your rage completely.
Yeah, but there's only 9 orbs for each one, and there's like 80 legendary chests.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, all right.
Yeah. It's not every legendary chest doesn't just have one of those orbs. It can have other shit in there too. Anyway.
Moving into the news. Well, the section we called Inform the Players, where we tell you for the PlayStation news that happened this week. Speaking of God of War. Oh, well, no.
You wanted to start with something else.
That's true, we did too. But I want to...
We'll segue into transition.
We still haven't... One year in, we still haven't nailed the transitions.
All right. God of War is now the fastest-selling PS4 exclusive per PlayStation blog. The game sold over 3.1 million copies worldwide after 3 days available from the April 20th to April 22nd. Santa Monica studio head Shannon Studstill shared a message celebrating the achievement. Quote, I would like to personally thank the millions of fans around the world who decided to embark on Kratos' latest adventure with us, Studstill said. Your support is truly inspiring and it's a reason why we push ourselves every day to go beyond the boundaries of play. The next goal for God of War is to top Horizon's 1 year sales, 7.6 million copies Horizon got in a year. That's for the most successful new first party franchise. Oh, it's not new franchise, I guess.
But it can still beat its numbers.
So if it can do 7.6 million in a year, which I think it probably will. Mm-hmm. If it got 3.1 million in 3 days, hasn't even been on sale yet or anything like that. So yeah, it will.
It was funny, I did go to the local game store here and I was talking to the guys and asked a question. I'm like, how's it all going? And like, yeah, God was insane. Mm. Like, we actually ran out.
Yeah. And it's pretty rare to run out of physical copies these days. Because I don't pre-order anymore.
No, yeah. Oh, I did because of the collector's edition.
Yeah, but I'll just walk in there and get it.
Yeah.
You know? But when I went to JB on release day at about midday. There was probably only 5 copies left on the shelf and they had that big-ass display. So, yeah. I was like, well, maybe next time I might just chuck $10 down just in case.
Any new big title. But yeah, I had the conversation, because while I was there, I was like, how's Labo doing? Like, it's not.
Yeah.
Ouch. But yeah, no, that's fantastic news. Like, the game is great and it makes sense. With the scores that it's getting, you know, it still is the highest scored first party title for PlayStation 4, I believe.
It dropped, actually.
It dropped, what is
it? It dropped a point, I think, to 94. 2 points. Hang on, let me check. Pasito, warm pasito, because I didn't have time to chill it.
Should get an ice bucket here and get fancy.
Come on, we're two Aussie blokes in the bottom of fuck all nowhere. It's 94 now because... Because of some jerk.
Yeah.
the guy that gave it the score that dropped it down gave Metal Gear Survivor 7.5.
That game's about right. That's about 7.
Equal to God of War in score, though?
Fuck no.
Yeah, so, you know, whatever. But still, if you don't count The Last of Us, because it's technically not a PS4 exclusive, because it was on PS3, it's still up there.
It's fantastic.
But it's like it's got that whole cultural hit thing going on. You know, there's lots of theory crafting, lots of deep diving into the story, like pulling the story apart and going, oh, so that you know, tying all these ends together that aren't obvious. God of War does such a great thing in storytelling where it tells you what you need to know, but if you look a little bit deeper, you can actually like piece all these other things together that are kind of tied to it.
I don't know. Did we talk about this last week? The fucking Infinity Gauntlet's in there.
No, but I saw that though. That's really cool.
So, like, so throughout the world, you'll find the glove, but you also find the 5 Infinity Stones. The 6 Infinity Stones.
Kind of. Like, they're
but
stones,
there's slight variants.
They're stones that are... This isn't really spoilers. It's just something...
In the world.
It's just something out in the world, like a collectible thing. Some side missions will give you some kind of a stone as a reward. And you have this particular gauntlet and you pop in 3 of those stones, you do like a boom, like a fucking Thanos power beam or something. that's cool.
That's a cool little touch.
Yeah. But people are still finding a lot of just random things, like reading a hint in the game that's like, you know, kind of like your up, down, left, right triangle kind of thing. So some of that people are finding in the game too. And, you know, the creators are like, well, I can't believe someone found that. Like, you know. So, yeah, it's got that
all
whole...
It's really doing... It's showing that the team it's you know, Santa Monica Studios, really... The attention to detail in this game is amazing. And the reason... Like, it's, granted, Corey being creative director and all sorts of stuff kind of pushed it, but I think it's... A lot of praise being directed at him specifically, but I think the whole team at Santa Monica have done... tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, the director will always get most of the credit because they're the face and they're the one overseeing it. But of course, it is a group effort.
Yeah, because even the guy that designed the trees, even the guy that designed the Draugr, you know what I mean? Like, every little detail in this game is fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've done amazing.
All right, you want to talk about something.
So yeah, so this week, another trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2 dropped. It is... Just do what I'm doing. Just have a fucking sip on the back of your head.
It's itching my beard.
Sorry, talking about party hats here, people. Yeah, so this is the third trailer for Red Dead Redemption. It's another story trailer focused mostly on very minimal to little gameplay, entirely focused on the story.
Mm-hmm.
We watched it before we moved in here, because you hadn't seen it yet. What are your thoughts?
I don't have any ties to it because I've never played. I didn't play the first one. And Westerns aren't really my thing either. This next news topic is my thing. We'll get into that shortly. But like watching the story trailer, because I don't know anything about the world, I'm like, I don't understand what's happening right now. Whereas maybe for you who's played the last one, we're like, whoa.
Well, yeah, there are some cool things that did pop up in that trailer. Like, we know a bit more about the timeline. It takes place in 1899. So before the events of Red Dead Redemption, which took place in the early 20th century, we know it's focusing on Dutch's gang, which is the gang that John Marston was a part of. Prior to Red Dead Redemption, so in Red Dead, your job is to go and take out the remaining members of the Dutch gang. That's part of the deal.
So you kind of know who's going to survive this game, then, don't you?
Correct. It's only real downside with prequels. There does look to be some new people in there. There's supposed to be a woman in there, which is pretty cool. It looks great.
She's dead. Was she in Red Dead 1?
Probably so.
Well, then she's dead.
We do see John Marston in there with a... Because he does have, you know, notable scars on his cheek in Red Dead Redemption. And in this one, you see him and they've been stitched up. So he looks like he's just got them. So it's very early.
Like a little
John
kid?
Marston. No, he's like a teen. Still an adult. Okay. Yeah, so like, I'm curious on how they bring that in because I don't think he's going to be a main player in any way. I know you're playing sort of the second in command of Dutch's gang. Look, as I'm hyped for it. But my hype has subsided since. Like, when we saw the first trial, I was like, yeah. Second trial, I was like, yeah, okay. Third trial, I'm like, okay.
Like, I know what it is. I don't need to see anymore.
Yeah, don't push it on me any harder. Like, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to play it. Granted, it's the same weekend as PAX, make it very difficult. But at that same time, I've been so enamored with God of War. Like, because one of the big questions that we also received as well from Stephen Peaky Butcher asked a question like, what do we think of Red Dead Redemption 2? And on top of that, Jess also added the question of, do we think it's too early to call God of War Game of the Year?
Nah.
No, I think it's Game of the Year so far, by chance.
So far.
And I think the only one to kick it out of that place would be Red Dead Redemption 2, but...
I'd be pretty upset.
Is it the only one, think about what else is coming out the rest of the year. Detroit, probably not.
Detroit is too niche, I think.
Yep. Spider-Man, it should be good, but it has to be really tight to get in Game of the Year it talks. You know, Monster Hunter World will be in there, of course, from the beginning of the year.
It'll be in the discussion, but it won't be one of the contenders, I don't
know. Yeah. What else have we had? You know, and then later on in the year, we've got like, you know, Black Ops 4 won't be in there. You know, we got Shadow of the Tomb Raider, very unlikely, you know.
Like, see, when Red Dead comes out is when all these big Gwent things happen to for me. So yeah. I probably won't be getting Red Dead.
Yeah. Well, I think you haven't played the first one. It makes sense to you.
But like, if they remastered the first one for PS4, I'll play through it. But I don't want to go in the garage, get my PS3 hooked. I've got it at home. I don't want to hook up the PS3 to play it. Whereas if I could spend, you know, $40 and get the remastered version of it or whatever... Totally would.
Yeah. I think Red Dead is the only thing that really has the ability to take down God of War as potential Game of the Year. But there are some cool things in there. Look, pretty cool. Like, you know, you're a gang, so you get to do cool Western gang things. Like they've seen what looks to be the same sort of very similar bank heists that we see in sort of GTA 5. Because one thing that Rockstar does really well is they implement something in a previous game and it appears in the next. So think of like, when you look through all all the Grand Theft Autos, you know, as in every, like everything that they've made, there's little bits that come here and there, like the targeting system they used in they created for Manhunt came into GTA. You know, like all these little things over here are sort of like spreading.
I think Red Dead will be very telling for what Rockstar is as a company now. Mm. You know, after the success of GTA Online and the promised but quietly cancelled single player DLC that we were supposed to get for GTA 5 and just never happened because it's like, well, GTA Online just makes too much money.
I think it was more of, well, the people that we would put the resource on making that single player, like there's more demand for online, not just money but more demand, period. I'm a bit more of a optimistic on that side of thing, but the cynicalism is like, that's got to make us money.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you know, Take Two seem to be a bunch of money hungry assholes as any big publisher is. So it'll be telling. I think Red Dead 2 will be telling on what is Rockstar now as a company, how much effort's going to be put between the online and the single player. Will we get single player story DLC or not? I don't think they've mentioned any at this point, which is probably smart. Red Dead 2 single player story content DLC?
No, they've barely even touched upon gameplay at this point.
So it's probably smart.
All we've seen so far is story concepts, yeah. And you know, as in, like, we've not seen anyone play it. I'm hoping we get some gameplay out of E3, but even then, man, it's like,
yeah, but you know, no one could have known the success that GTA Online was going to be.
Correct.
And you know, prior to GTA 5's release, they're like, yep, there'll be, you know, story DLC and all that kind of stuff, and then GTA Online was like, whoa. GTA 4, yeah. So I think it would be smartest for them to not even touch on thinking about doing Red Dead 2 story content, because if they decide not to, then they're not going back on their word or anything again. So
it's the same reason that like God of War hasn't said anything yet about story DLC, because although Corey said he's not planning it at the moment, but he's not against it.
A lot of people are just begging for New Game Plus. That's a big thing people want with God of War. But yeah.
Speaking of new things that you want.
Yeah, so Westerns aren't really my thing.
You
but
have a mouthful of twisties, don't you?
Not anymore. Cyberpunk is my thing. So a role-playing game from CD Projekt Red will indeed be at this year's E3. According to the official E3 2018 exhibitor directory, CDPR will be in attendance with an unspecified RPG for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. The game in question will almost certainly be Cyberpunk 2077, which we heard earlier this year will likely be at E3, and is among the games rumored to appear. Last month, CDPR opened a new studio in Wrocław, Poland, to aid in the development of Cyberpunk 2077. The open-world RPG, which won't feature any microtransactions, is said to be even more ambitious than The Witcher 3. Fuck, yeah, man.
I'm really hoping, just to like get your spirits down, but also lift you up at the same time. Like if they're bringing an unnamed RPG, you're like, oh my god, it's gonna be Cyberpunk, and then like, here's a spin-off of The Witcher 3. It's like, ooh, still good.
Cyberpunk kind of is.
I mean, hey,
I get what you're saying. It's not
a standalone campaign for Siri. You're like, oh, that's cool, but not what I wanted. I mean, like, with whatever they announce, it's win-win, right?
Exactly. Like, CDPR are one of those companies that just have goodwill just pouring out of them.
Wouldn't it just be amazing? Everyone's like, Cyberpunk. It's like, what the fuck? No. Still good. Yeah, Siri.
And literally, from any standpoint you look at it, business or whatever, it can't be anything else. Because I reckon they know...
I'm going to eat a snake.
With the troubles they've kind of... Not troubles they've had with Gwent, but what they've decided to do with Gwent... I think they know kind of, yeah, we know everyone's keen for the Cyberpunk, but we've also been working on something else. It can't be anything else. Like, it's guaranteed it is Cyberpunk 2077, which is cool. I'd love for it to...
What's known about that game right now?
Huh?
What's known about
fucking
that game?
Nothing. There was a trailer, I think, between 2015, which looked fantastic, like, graphically. Like, CDPR are very good at all that. But not a lot. You know, there's all theories that, like, because Siri can, like, dimension hop, that either it will be maybe a Siri story, or you will like Easter egg, like see her or see signs that she's been around there, but not a lot really. They haven't fully said it's not tied to the Witcher universe at all. It very well could be, but still be its own thing, because it is like the whole different dimension thing. Be cool if there was like Gwent in the game, like cyber Gwent, like, you know,
digital cards.
Yeah, like digital Gwent or something like that.
Like holograms.
Yeah, yeah. I think they would do that. I think that'd be pretty. That'd be cool. Cool nod, I think. But yeah, it can't be anything else. The question is, will it appear under Sony or Microsoft when they come out with them?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah. I'm not quite too sure on that one.
I'm not sure either. Could go either way. In terms of, like, if Sony want it, they will have it because of the amount of money Sony have. But then Microsoft have just as much money, if not more,
and they have that, and they have that need.
Plus, because it is coming to PS4, Xbox One, and PC, it'd be cool, I think, for Microsoft to have it because they can show, you know, Xbox and PC at the same time. Maybe. I don't care really who displays it. I mean, it's no sway to me. I'm getting it on PS4 because I have a PS4. It'll just be interesting. I think it'll just be an interesting thing who they decide to present it under, what banner.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be telling. I think it'll be just whoever throws more money.
Pretty much. Or they... I don't think they're registered to do their own thing. No. You can't, for one game, you can't really do your own presentation anyway.
Bethesda tried last year.
Yeah.
We should mention as well, with E3, I've taken that week off work again.
We're due to do our competition, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, our trophy. Yeah,
our predictions and all that.
Yeah.
Do we still have the trophy?
It's one of James's toys. I think it's in his bedroom.
I hope so.
Oh, God. So I'll be streaming every press conference once again live here on the YouTubes or on the Twitch. I haven't decided yet. Mm-hmm. You're unemployed now, so you might be able to join me for at least PlayStation 1.
No, the apprenticeship starts in July.
Oh, Bill Burns. Well, it's June, dude.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, that might be right then.
Hey!
Maybe. I need dates and times. But yeah, it should be.
I can do the dates and times when I'm done here.
Yeah.
But no, yeah, you lock those in and come watch E3 with us.
Number three. I only put this one in because, one, I'm enjoying the original game. And when I talked about the original game, quite a few people jumped in saying they love that kind of game as well. In a final backer update before Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfires launch next week on May 8th on PC, developer Obsidian Entertainment revealed it will have fully voiced dialogue for every single conversation in the game. Given the vast scope of Deadfire, that's likely a massive amount of voiceover. Quote, this is a huge effort and it makes a world of difference when you get to hear it in action, said Obsidian PR manager Mikey Dowling. The update video also showed off the ability to rename your boats and even whole islands you've conquered. It also gives a glimpse at some interesting new abilities, including firecracker, explosive you can use to distract NPCs, and the Fallout-inspired ability to reverse pickpocket live bombs into enemy inventories. Pillars of Eternity 2 Deadfire will launch on May 8th on PC and then come to all the consoles later this year. So, it's just cool to me that there is a company still dedicated to doing these old school, like, RPGs. Like, at their core, this is an RPG.
Yeah.
And going as far to, like, voice act every single conversation is insane by today's standards.
Well, even, like, games like Monster Hunter. Because that was, like, the first thing that threw me out was, like, there was no voice acting for the entire thing. I'm like, what is this?
Yes, there is.
Yeah, no, in the scenes there are. Mm. Like, in the cut scenes and in some conversations there are. But then random-ass people are like,
it's all text. Yeah, or they talk to someone, they go, ugh! And then there's, like, the text boxes of everything there.
Yeah.
Which, that most of Pillars 1 is voice acted pretty well. But to have, you know, everything, I don't even think, like, Bethesda doesn't do that. You have all the guards that have, like, the same lines and all that kind of stuff.
They're all not individually dialogued, but yes, they are all dialogued.
They're all dialogued, but a lot of it's, you know, if you're a city guard, we'll copy and paste all your dialogue.
You have, like, your 30 options. Yeah.
Whether they mean the same here or not, I don't know. But I just think it's cool. I love seeing that there is a studio dedicated to this and that it's still finding success in today's day and age. And the top-selling games for week ending 29th of April 2018, starting number 10, NPA, National Pong Association. NBA 2K18, number 9, Horizon Collections, number 8, Destiny 2, number 7, COD World War 2, number 6, Rainbow Six Siege, number 5, FIFA 18, number 4, GTA 5, number 3, Crash Insane Trilogy, number 2, Far Cry 5, number 1, of course, God of War. When I said, of course, like, this big bit of twisty came out from somewhere in my mouth.
Surprise.
Ooh. Hey, I'm still here. Ooh. No surprise there.
No, I didn't know.
We're at that point now where we're going to be in that. The list is the same every week.
The list will basically be the same until the next big thing.
Until Detroit.
Yeah.
Which we'll get in there for a bit.
And then God of War will still hang out.
Do you think Detroit will knock God of War off?
I think
the
first week, yes.
First week, you think so?
I think everyone will get that. We'll have that rollover hype from God of War. Like, PlayStation can do no wrong.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this?
This is weird.
This isn't God of War.
Not saying Detroit's going to be bad.
No, but comparatively.
Just very, very...
They're not the same game.
Very different.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. That's it for the news as we have a chat to the players about the video game Hall of Fame.
Ooh.
So I've got a news story to kick us off with this, and then we're going to have a little chit-chat about what we think about it and what should be in there. The four 2018 World Video Game Hall of Fame inductees have been announced at the Strong National Museum of Play. This year, Space War, John Madden Football, Tomb Raider and Final Fantasy VII are added to the list, which brings new games into the fold annually to recognise their sustained popularity or impact on the industry. Space War, for instance, was not added for commercial success, but for its contribution in launching the industry and changing the way people thought about computers. This year's inductees were narrowed down from 12 finalists, which included Asteroids, Half-Life and Minecraft. Games currently in the Hall of Fame are Donkey Kong, Doom, GTA 3, Halo Combat Evolved, The Legend of Zelda, The Oregon Trail, Pac-Man, Pokemon Red and Green, Pong, The Sims, Sonic, Space Invader, Street Fighter 2, Super Mario Bros. Tomb Raider, and of course, my favourite, World of Warcraft. If you don't know what The Strong is a highly interactive collections-based museum. Located in New York, devoted to the history and exploration of play. It is one of the largest history museums in the US and one of the leading museums serving families. The Strong House is the world's largest and most comprehensive collection of historical materials related to play and is home to the International Center for the History of Electronic Games, the World Video Game Hall of Fame, the Britain Sutton Smith Library and Archives of Play, and the Woodbury School and the American Journal of Play. So it's basically a museum dedicated to video games, located in New York.
Very cool.
So they started this in 2015, like their Hall of Fame. And yeah, so this year, congratulations to Space War, John Madden Football, Tomb Raider, and Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy VII makes 100% perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Tomb Raider, same thing, cultural phenomenon.
Yep.
John Madden Football makes sense, because look at where Madden is as a franchise mm-hmm. now. Space War, it's not for commercial success, it's just there because it's...
Yeah. So the games that get put in there are ones that had either... significant cultural impact prolonged like to this day or really kind of reshaped the way the world thinks about video games and what can be done with video games. So we're gonna have a chat. I don't know how long this chat will be, but we're gonna have a chat about
bullshit about the news for long enough, so
what we think deserves at some point past or present to be in the video game Hall of Fame.
Okay,
so in terms of current games, as current as it gets, anything released this gen mm-hmm. or even last gen, I think, won't be up for consideration for about another decade-ish.
Yeah. You've got to have time to reflect.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Fortnite's going to be in there.
Like,
without a doubt, the cultural phenomenon thing. PUBG doesn't really have a chance anymore, but Fortnite's reach...
Oh, side note, we talked about it on the community group, but like, all those Chinese people that got like straight up arrested for cheating on PUBG.
Yeah. Awesome. Like, of all the things to go down for, it had to be that piece of shit game. But it is strange that, having said that, like, Fortnite is the cultural phenomenon that it is. This year, one of the contenders was Minecraft, and that didn't make it this year. And I think that's actually a little bit strange.
That's quite telling, actually, that Minecraft didn't make it in.
But it's still... everywhere, like maybe it's too soon for it, possibly, because you can, when they announce that they're going to be doing it, you can actually go to the Strong website and nominate a game for yourself, and then they will, you know, go through the history of the game, talk to journalists, talk to the game, like they'll really go
research
into
it.
Yeah, they'll research it to give it its own merits. Maybe Minecraft is just a little bit too soon to actually be put up in there.
So
I think it's kind of where it is now, and then we need it to stop. So we can get a proper reflection back on it.
Yeah.
And because Minecraft is still going, I don't think it will be looked at until it's kind of petered out to really nothing. And then you can really kind of get the whole story of Minecraft and put it under the scope and have a good look at it. But I think that'll be the case with Fortnite. It's just incredible. And I really... Yeah, like, it's going to be in there in about a decade, I reckon. Maybe longer. Like, I don't know what their exact criteria is, like time frame and stuff. But like,
also early access game, like they're happy to bring in.
Yeah, exactly.
Traders,
but you know, the four games that are in there now are 20 plus years old, so it might not be for another long time.
Yeah. Like, in time, I think, you know, they've got GTA 3 there, but GTA 5 will be in there.
You reckon?
Before its commercial success, it is now the best selling piece of entertainment.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Period. Like, that's insane.
But, like, we don't know their rules because GTA is already in there. can another one be for different reasons? Probably.
Yeah, well, but GTA, they haven't really GTA specified. GTA 3 was in there because it's such a game changer. It was the first, one of the big first fully developed impressive open worlds. Mm. Yeah. It actually probably actually felt like a genuine living, breathing city.
Yeah.
That makes sense why it's there. GTA 5 is there, can be there for the same reasons. It's a fantastic film, fantastic game.
It would make a decent film.
It would make a fantastic film too. But like, you know, once again, evolving on what GTA 3 was, as well as making a huge, successful franchise.
Yeah, but it, and it's cool that their criteria just doesn't take commercial success in. Like Space War, as they said, didn't really have much commercial success, but it really kind of made everyone go, like, well, you can do this, you know? So I think another one many years in the future again will be The Witcher 3.
Oh, without a doubt.
It seems to have just... Because Witcher 1 and 2 were successful, but they were kind of niche, like kind of like cult successful. But Witcher 3 really kind of went, damn. Mm. And it is like the perfect template for an open world game. Like, everything is interesting.
An open world RPG.
Open world RPG. Everything is interesting. The side missions mean just as much, if not more, than the main story. Memorable characters, the music, the vistas, like everything. Like everything in The Witcher 3, whether you like the game or not, because of the style of the gameplay it has, because I didn't like it when I first played it. It was just like overload. Like, this is too much. I can't get my head around
it. You're a bit anxious.
Your stepdad loved it, though, didn't he?
Oh, he's, yeah, he's put 100.
But then on top of that, releasing like critically acclaimed expansions, not DLC, like expansion packs. We don't see expansions anymore, you know? We get like, you know, here's a single player story DLC, but the terms have come muddled, like expansion or DLC, but like Hearts of Stone and Blood and Wine were just like, they built on it in every way possible. And I think you're looking at The Witcher 3 and its expansions under a scope is just like, this like changed the game for open world games. Like, it really did. That's why I'm so excited about Cyberpunk.
Well, going on with what Paul James said in our, you know, community reach out in the group, we asked what the community would think. Although he did, he would have preferred Shane Warne Cricket 98, he has put down The Last of Us. And I think Last of Us, in the same vein, it's a couple of years out, but in terms of, like, well, one, it scored really well, and two, from cultural phenomenon.
I was thinking about that as I was driving here. I'm like, would it be...
And that'd be there for The Power of Storytelling.
Yeah, would it be, but would it be The Last of Us or Uncharted as a whole?
Entire mouthful of snake.
But you know what I mean? Because Uncharted, Uncharted really started that method of storytelling, interactive storytelling that The Last of Us ended up being, you know, the pinnacle of. So I don't know if they'd, you know, because The Last of Us kind of branched off from Uncharted in the way that how they presented it. But Uncharted 1 wasn't amazing.
It would be between Uncharted 4 and The Last of Us if you would put a Naughty Dog title in there.
I'd like to say The Last of Us. But yeah, of course, that won't be for a very long time.
But then going back in time, because I said we're looking at 20-year-old games at this point, a game that marked its 20th anniversary this year is Metal Gear Solid. Come on. Like, you, although you don't care, you can understand why that should be in there.
Not really.
Fuck you.
I can't understand it because I never played it at the time, yeah? So to me, I'm like, yeah, whatever. A cultural phenomenon, though?
Well, it's one of the first... Everyone accredits it to one of the first... one of the big games that shows them that games can be adult, that games can be a massive storytelling venture. Along That's with Final Fantasy. You know, outside of, you know, like Final Fantasy.
Your JRPGs kind of a thing, yeah. Well, we did reach out to the community as well, as Paul's, you know, Shane Warne Cricket 98. Buddy Watson says GoldenEye for the N64.
Cultural impact, yeah, it would make sense. Yeah, the game still plays pretty poops.
I played the shit out of that. Yeah. Like, way back when with my friends.
I can't
really attribute it to, like, you can maybe attribute it to FPS multiplayer. Because, you know, we had other FPS games at the time which were really, really good, like Perfect Dark and whatnot. But I think it really did kick off the multiplayer aspect of FPS on a major scale. So, that could be up. We also had from Zach Jackson, Time Splitters 2 and Porsche Challenge. Time Splitters was really cool. I liked Time Splitters way back when, but I don't think it had that big of a reach, did it?
Right up.
I remember playing it in like Time Zone and stuff, you know, and doing really badly. And Porsche Challenge. I don't do car racing games either, so I can't really comment on that. I think one last one is probably Diablo 2.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I think because, you know, Blizzard are already in there with World of Warcraft, of course, which is still going. So the whole thing, yeah, maybe wait, need like Minecraft needing to wait for it to finish before World of Warcraft's in there, and that's still going strong. There's another expansion.
It's also very interesting that they, you know, speaking of, you know, kind of in the same vein as like Half-Life, why is Half-Life not in there? Everyone talks about the power of Half-Life, and it's like, and it's still not in there? It's very weird.
It's at the point now where Half-Life 3 couldn't release as anything other than a disappointment. Like, there's too much behind it for Half-Life 3 to be successful.
Maybe that's why it's not in there.
Possibly. But yeah, Diablo 2 was just also, maybe it's my fond memories of, you know, being in high school and playing with my friends, but just at the time it was just everywhere, and it really did like revolutionize like the dungeon crawling, because there were many dungeon crawlings before it, of course, like Diablo 1 and stuff, but Diablo 2 really, and still does, like people still play that game on Battle.net.
Didn't it just get remastered?
No.
Or is it being remastered?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm 100% aware. I'm positive it's being remastered.
Oh, that'd be sweet. But, you know, but Diablo 2 as a base game was okay, but it was when the Lords of Destruction expansion came out that really, like, pushed it into, like, that massive mainstream thing.
My wife loves Diablo 2.
And Diablo 3, because she was hammering that back
yeah, before when. James was born, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so what are we going to do? Like, The Last of Us, Diablo 2, The Witcher, Metal Gear.
Yeah.
You reckon?
I reckon.
You reckon?
Look, I think God of War, give it 25 years, will probably be in there as well, this one. Yeah. Now, personally, if we want to go batshit, well, yeah, pull up the best scored Metacritic games, and we'll have a see whether any of these titles should make the list.
Is there a quick way for me to do this without Googling it?
Just literally search best games of all time, I guess.
They normally have like a site. There it is. Oh, that's current PS4 games. Okay. Metacritic best rated games of all time.
Now, personally, just because it's funny, Harvest Moon Back to Nature. On the other
one. Stardew Valley, if anything.
No, because I think they should be there. Harvest Moon in there.
All right, but,
go down the list, let me know what's there. We'll discuss.
Number one, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time. Now, The Legend of Zelda is already in the Hall of Fame for the original. Not Ocarina the Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time isn't in there, but number two is Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2.
Ooh.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Like, I understand, once again, cultural phenomenon of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2. And you could do manuals in it, which you couldn't do in number one.
Whoa. GTA 4. For PS3.
I think 5 would be in there before 4 would.
Yep. Soul Calibur for DC.
For Dreamcast.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's okay. Weird.
Because I love Soul Blade on the PS1. Yep. That was a sequel, so.
Yeah, Super Mario Galaxy 1 and 2. Yeah. They're just more Mario games. I mean, yeah, they're high-rated. Yeah,
I think Super Mario 64 has a higher chance than that one.
Yeah, but like Super Mario, the original, is already in the Hall of Fame too. So.
True.
And then everything from there is GTA, Tony Hawk, more Zelda. Then there's Perfect Dark for the N64. Metroid Prime. Halo, that's already in there. NFL 2K1 on the Dreamcast.
Okay.
Half-Life 2, more Zelda. Bioshock.
Ooh.
Resident Evil 4.
Resident Evil 4 should probably be in there.
Arkham City. That was a good game.
That was a real good game.
Hall of Fame. If anything, I'd say, you know, it's rated higher than Arkham Asylum, but I think Arkham Asylum should probably be, if they were going to pick one, you know, Arkham Asylum kind of kicked that off, so I think that would deserve it.
Yeah,
maybe,
and it
more.
Sort of showed us that, yeah, superhero games could be good again.
Skyrim.
Yeah, why the fuck isn't Skyrim in there, by the way? Because the game's pretty much broken.
It's still selling.
And it's still broken.
Gran Turismo for PS1. I'm not into racing.
Yeah, racing games aren't my forte.
I don't know how far you want to go. Little Big Planet, Red Dead Redemption, more Zelda, The Last of Us, Zelda.
How far are we on in the list?
Up to like 50s.
All right, stop at like 50.
Portal 2.
Oh, shit. Yeah, okay. Portal. Portal was a pretty a big phenomenon in the right spaces.
COD Modern Warfare 2.
Ooh, see, that's the thing. Okay, there you go. Call of Duty, you know, consistently the best selling game of the year. Do we ever think Call of Duty could make it into the Hall of Fame?
I think if any did, it'd be Modern Warfare 1.
Yeah, Call of Duty 4.
Call of Duty 4. That's what started the whole fucking mess we're in now with shooting games. But at the time, that was like, this is next gen. Like, this is it. This is next gen multiplayer. Like, this is the bee's knees of everything. So I think I wouldn't be upset if Modern Warfare was
I would understand. Like,
at some point. I still think it's probably too soon. Oh, maybe not really. They've had 80 other games out since then. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, look, I'd be quite comfortable with that, because I said that. Speaking, if you want to talk about modern first person shooters, that's the game that defined and created the current first person shooter.
I'm just quickly grind, looking at the rest of them.
Anything else you're jumping out at you?
No, not really.
Fun.
They're all just, well, primarily, you know, all your different CODs, all your different Marios, all your different Zeldas.
Let us know what you think should be in the Video Game Hall of Fame. Drop them in the comments below. Let us know. You can give us a reason why as well. Just be like, hey, I think this game should be in there. Or do you agree with the ones that we threw out? Do you disagree with the ones we threw out? You
should probably disagree.
Yeah, we kind of had fun there in the end. Helps me back to nature. But we'll head into the drop, where we tell you about what games are coming out this week in a section we call Coming to the Blaze.
New games for the week of the 8th of the 5th, 2018. 2MD VR Football, PSVR Digital.
I didn't buy, speaking from last week, the MLB Home Run Derby. I didn't buy it. I looked at it. No, thank you.
Oh, yeah, man.
Ooh, it's garbage.
AO International Tennis, PS4 Digital.
Wait, didn't that already come out, like Australian Open Tennis? This must be a variant.
I don't know. Conan Exiles, PS4 Digital and Retail.
A lot of emails about that one.
Cool Painter VR, PSVR Digital. This is cool. It's like live the awesome experience of painting in a 3D space. So you're in like a black room, but you 3D paint.
Ooh.
You know, and you can walk around your sculpture and continue building on it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, just really like a cool idea. Yeah, and then you watch the trailers and you see some of the amazing things people have made with it, and you just make like a 3D stick figure. Darkest Dungeon Ancestral Edition, PS4 Retail. Dead Ahead Zombie Warfare, PS4, PS Vita Digital. Death Road to Canada, PS4 Digital. That'd be straight through the United States. Grim Legends 3 The Dark City, PS4 Digital. Hyper Sentinel, PS4 Digital. Inksplosion, PS4, PS Vita Digital. Laser League, PS4 Digital. Lunch Truck Tycoon 2, PS4 Digital. Mega Dimension Neptunia V11R, 7R, I guess.
That's VR.
PS4, PSVR Digital.
Weird.
I just clicked on the feedback button by accident. I don't know why websites ask for feedback. It's dumb. Raging Justice, PS4 Digital. Reverie, PS4 Digital. You can tell that, like, we're in the space where nothing big is coming out. Yeah, you know, everyone's like, here you go. Shantae, Half Genie Hero, Ultimate Edition, PS4 Digital. Siberia, PS4 Digital. Tacoma, PS4 Digital.
Good. That's been on the Xboxes for a while. Just can't finally come across.
Through the Woods, PS4 Digital.
So it looks like
I'm interested in this one.
Looks like the album cover of In Heart's Wake.
Just might be good coming off the God of War high. Through the Woods is a third-person Norse horror adventure.
Oh, good timing. Through the Woods.
Set in a forest on the western shores of Norway, tells the story of a mother and her missing son. So I watched a trailer for this, and it seems to kind of play like you'd expect, like Outlast would.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're in, you know, the western shores of Norway, and you've got Norse mythology there, and some of like the stuff in the trailer looks pretty fucked up. You're essentially a mum looking for her son who's gone missing.
But quality timing.
Good timing, because yeah, I'm interested. I don't know how much. If it's probably under $30, I might pick it up. If it's over that, I probably won't. But it seems interesting enough, and if you're still on that God of War, like Norse mythology high, this might be a way to keep that going. Trailblazers, PS4 Digital. Tia, Chains of Valhalla.
Another one.
PS4 Digital. This one's, I thought this one sounded cool, and then I watched the trailer, I was like, nah. Because, you know, we know a lot about Tia from God of War now. It's like, oh, you know, like, oh, more Norse stuff, yeah? But this is set, you'd think it'd be good for me, like in the, like cyberpunky,
yep.
though. Tear Chains of Valhalla is inspired by Norse mythology, more precisely, the Ragnarok. In a technological world...
They really aimed for the release, didn't they?
In a technological world where humanity depends on the mega corporations like Yggdrasil, like the World Tree,
mm-hmm.
Big companies know no limits, competing for the global monopoly, and foes are... At the order of the day, someone has to put a balance in the city.
Bad sentence.
That's a bad sentence. So I thought it sounded cool, like futuristic, like you're playing as Tyr, but it's just like a bargain bin, like 2D platforming thing.
Oh.
Didn't. I'm all for 2D platformers, but this just, it just, I don't know. Got my hopes up and then brought them right back down. So out of all that, Through the Woods is probably my pick.
Yeah, nothing's really jumped at me.
Sounds cool.
I am still, the big in Japan sale's still going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still looking at Yakuza 0.
When does it end?
15th, I think.
Mm. You got a bit of time.
Mm.
I mean, get it towards then, so God of War's kind of died down. Yeah, you got a bit of time before Detroit. It over. Yeah, in between period there. Mm. But that's it for the drop, Ryan, as we move into the segment where we share with the players entertainment and other media we think you will enjoy. What did you bring for us this week? Happy birthday to us.
Look, mine's an easy one, only because I'd bounce. Look, what you'll come to realize is everything that I recommend, it's something that I did the day before. So, this week, I recommend that you all either A, buy or listen to the fucking Doom soundtrack.
Do you already recommend that?
Nope. Even if I did, I'll do it again. Because that shit is... No, last week it was the God of War Blood and Metal EP.
Alright.
Its soundtrack is fucking phenomenal. It's Mitch Gordon. He's Australian. He's exceptional. It's also now available on vinyl, which I'm debating buying because I know it's expensive and my wife's going to yell at me. Mm-hmm. But it's fantastic. It's that great sort of industrial punch that I love. Like, it's the metal that I enjoy the most.
Cool.
I can't even explain like why I love it so much. It's the guitar, it's the synth, it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Fucking fantastic. You really don't need to play a soundbite here because you can if you want to.
Depends if I can be asked editing it in. The listeners will know by now if I've done it or not. I've got two things. One, Gwent, for the reasons I outlined earlier. If you're interested, now's a good time to jump in, start building your collection, get your duplicates, and then when Homecoming comes out, you can just, you know, mill all the things. But also... keeping on soundtracks, the Gwent soundtrack is one of the best because they didn't just pull music from The Witcher to put in Gwent. They made all new tracks. You know, each faction has theme songs. You know, everything has music in it, and the music, like the soundtrack, deserves just to be savored and loved.
Mm.
Different reasons. Like, well, yours is like mine's like, you know, Nordic tavern music, you know, real chill stuff. So I highly recommend anything to do with Gwent, really, because that's what I'm into at the moment. And it's free.
And here is when we would throw in the iTunes review of the week or the whatever review of the week, if it's a comment or whatever, because I just kind of decided to put that in this morning.
Also, I forgot to ask the players what they'd like to share.
Yeah, whoops.
A year in and we're still not quite there.
Hey,
we're talking about at the start how we have the format down. The format's down. It's actually asking people what we want.
The format's there, but we keep adding shit to it and then forget, because we're so used to doing it one way, we forget that there's new shit we've added in.
Mm. I'll do a spill after I finish my twisty.
Okay, cool. But yeah, no, if you want to jump into the iTunes or jump into the comments and leave us a review of some sort, or if you want to say some lovely comments or some feedback, this is the part of the show that we'll pull it out and we'll talk about it and be like, hey, Bluntman420 says that guy on the right has a sick beard. I'm like, yeah, he does have a sick beard. Thank you very much.
But to them, you'd be the guy on the right.
And I'm like, fuck you. I'm trying.
Do you mean it, or am I like self-conscious now?
I don't know how to take this.
Oh, I sat on my. I got pins and needles in my foot.
Oh no! Push through it. Go.
That PlayStation conversation happened on a Monday morning. At
Do you have more party poppers? We'll finish with some more party poppers.
Ow. 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on YouTube and 8 a.m. on iTunes and the other podcast services. If you'd like to be a part of that conversation, please join us on Facebook, join us on Discord, comment below, or if you're feeling generous, join us on Patreon at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Head over there, check out the tiers. There might be something there that interests you.
And if you want to show your love for the Pop Culturist on your body, head to thepopculturist.com/shop, where you can buy shirts, where you can buy bags. You can buy jumpers. You can buy hoodies. All the things, including the lovely two new shirts that we are wearing today, including the Grumpy Old Man.
Angry Old Man,
as well as the Major League Betson. And I believe there's some other shirts there as well. All designed by that lovely gentleman, James Perry, over at Pixel Beast, who's currently working on a couple more designs for us as we talk. But until next week.
Hang on, you forgot something. We're also Twitch affiliated.
Oh, yeah, we are also on Twitch. We are Twitch affiliated at twitch.tv/popculturist. Come over there, watch the streams, donate, sub, give them some of them biddies. It's all up to you.
My hands aren't big enough to do more than three.
But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson. No, the end.
I'm Josh Saunders.
And that was for the players' 1 year anniversary.
Fucking Jesus. Oh, I forgot one.